morning, good morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden, where Sniffies blooms in athletics and sports. And it is the last show of season 7. Can you believe that? Next month, next Wednesday, will be season 8. Isn't that fantastic? I'm just so excited about that. But I do want to, I put down on in my notes, let's talk about it. I put a post in the Facebook group, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, about waking up yesterday to the knowledge that we had two black women who were not going to be in the Olympics, discontinued their competition. And, oh, my goodness, the conversation all over is just, you know, support, non-support. You said you were the GOAT. You let people down. But what I want to do is talk a little bit about yourself. Because when you see someone, it usually would trigger something in yourself and you don't really acknowledge it. So the first step of a leader is self-awareness. And my question is, have you ever felt the way these two young ladies have been? Everybody's pulling for you. Everybody's excited about you. You just got the new position. Yeah, you're ready for this. And you got all kinds of accolades. But then you hit a wall and you're like, yeah, but I can't let these people down. Just sit with that for a moment, because they're public figures and you're a public figure. And I'm not even talking about if you're just the AD. You know, you can come from a small town like myself, and then you become athletic director, 28 years old. I'm not even talking about that. Before that, I worked at Olympics. Before that, I worked at the Pentagon. Before that, I worked at BET. And you just got people pulling for you, and you can't let them down. You really need to just sit with that for a moment. And I'll be honest with you, I'm really proud of some of the women that are in the garden who have done some things that society would go like, well, why would you give that up? I didn't give it up. I chose me. And that's not giving up. And ask me how I know. Ask me how I know. You got to define your own significance. You can't let society select that for you. It looks like Simone is at peace, cheering her teammates on. It looks like Monique A.J. Smith is at peace, cheering all of the ladies that are in the garden to their necks. You can't let society select that for you. So let's take this moment to just self-reflect, because I'm here to tell you, this conversation is going on with your student athletes today. And because they've seen themselves in these two young ladies, they're going to start doing some things differently. And as an administrator, you got to look at yourself. Not necessarily how you see that, but look at yourself first and then be prepared for that to happen. Now, if you can show the student athletes that you do care about them more than what they can perform for you, you might be able to handle that much better. Yeah. But examine yourself first. Be prepared for it to happen on your campus and decide how you're going to address that. And most importantly, Be the example that you want to see. And I would tell women, like 20 years ago, I would say, look, if you want young ladies to follow us in these footsteps, we got to show them how we handle all of these things that we got going on. If we don't, we're going to have them not want to come in the pipeline, and we're going to have them leave the pipeline before it even get in good. So just take this time. I know that we're all excited and supporting and talk about the Olympics and whatnot, but almost everything that ever happens on a big bubble, it's going to come down to where you are. And it's time to look at yourself first. And people said to me often, you know, why did you give up being athletic director? And I said, peace of mind is something I can't put a price to. If you're interested about that, I did write about it in a chapter in a book, and I put tools in there. So that's the most important thing. Because I did hit a wall, literally and figuratively. I hit a wall on 64 Interstate facing all four lanes head on. The only injury I had was a burn on my neck from the seatbelt. And this was like 2002, 2003, 2001. I can't even remember. But I do know this. I had two car accidents in 6 months. And so I was like, ooh, this is not normal. I need to talk to somebody. So that's my second thing, is therapy is necessary. It's necessary for people who are in public figures, who got pressures coming down on them. People looking at them, how you deal with all kinds of things. Oh, I just, you know, in athletics, there's so many moving parts. You just got to be, you really can't have all the answers. But I will tell you, it is best to lead in a healthy mindset. So I mentioned about the book, and you can go get it at publicfiguremask.com, or you can go to the store. Payhip.com/seasonempowerment. Either one. Just to hear about someone who chose herself, who did not allow society or the thought process of letting people down. Here's the interesting thing. I did not know what was in store for me next, and it was so much better than where I was. I went from being athletic director with a little 2 years in between, to a social commission for 13 years and making a much bigger impact. But I would have not have seen that. And I didn't handle it well. That's one reason why I crashed. I was resentful that I gave up something that I thought was the ultimate, you know. And, you know, God has something else better for me. I want to be able to share that with you. That's one reason why I started a garden, because I want everybody to be able to see what growth looks like. Growth does not look like a – it looks beautiful when it finishes, but – and it's not really necessarily finished. You have to remember that it's a process. So I just want to take that moment just to relate to what you see on the news today to yourself, because if you're in athletics and they're athletes – it's going to come back knocking at your door. Now, last week was phenomenal with the Good Lows, the Behind the Whistle, the Schema. I have on my Schema shirt today. And they took what they saw. It's, again, micro. Was the Black Student Athlete Summit, and condensed it to meet the needs of high school coaches and administrators, to try to show how to coach holistically and lead holistically. Now, it's interesting because we did not know. I think they're going on the fifth one. And, yeah, because next year will be 5 years. We did not know we were going to have the pandemic. We did not know that the if you in the business, you kind of saw it, but it was not mainstream to say that the student-athlete is more than just the competitor. So we had phenomenal conversations. And I tell you, one that stuck with me the most was Dr. Emmett Gill. And he was the last speaker. And when I tell you he dropped the mic, he dropped the mic. And you might he's one of the ones that started the Alliance of Social Workers for Sport. He also started the Student Athlete Human Rights piece. He started and he moved on to something else to attack. And so, but he talked about the NLI. And it's funny because to me, I would have thought he would have talked about knowing the art, because he said it was coming, you know, how we got to stick up for our student athletes and help them find voice, and what this going on in the world is more than, you know, their performance. You know, outside entities have a lot to do with how they gel for team and how they perform and what's going on. Thus, he started the Alliance of Social Workers for Sports. And so, but he really talked about, interesting enough, about Jonah and the Ark. Jonah and the whale, and how Jonah was running away from his calling. And I just thought that was so interesting. And in this sense, it's like losing your way. So as an athletic administrator, you probably got into the business because you want to be able to do it for student athletes. But then when you get in emotions and you're trying to find the money to supply to do what you need to do, you got the president, people who are not in athletics but, you know, want you to, you know, the higher ed piece. And then you got your coaches and they're asking for this. You kind of lose your way. You kind of lose your way. And so I'm going to stop right there about that, because the Goodloes have recorded the wonderful conference. And if that has piqued your interest, if that had piqued your interest, I would say go to behindthewhistle.net and you'll be able to see how you can purchase the replay. I'm going to purchase it because that really resonated with me, because it's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new day. Let us not even use the term going back to normal or new normal, because it's going to be different. It's going to be different. You really cannot. I don't know if you even tried this. You really can't put the toothpaste back into the tube. It does not work unless you put some mechanism to make it suck in, which I know you're not going through all that. Because if you cut the bottom of the tube, you will still have a mess. So, hey, don't even try. You know, put that toothpaste in a different container in a different way. It's still useful. Okay? So just be open to the fact that you're going to be doing things differently. So that was a great piece. And that's another conversation that led me to watch this movie that was really eye-opening. I knew about it, but I did not know the intensity of it. Judas and the Messiah, and how it was, I don't even know how to say it, but Dr. Alika Carter Van Zink made reference to the movie and to the soundtrack, and one of it was I Am a Revolutionary. Now, again, that's why I'm saying students today are going to be different. They're just going to be different. And how are you going to prepare for it? And so she talked about that, and I did watch the movie because I was not really familiar with it. And, you know, again, all these things just open your eyes up. So, but it did remind me of a one of our sponsors, Dr. Jasmine George Williams, and her book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacies, and Liberation. And coming from a conservative small town in Virginia, well, my parents were school teachers, and their form of protest definitely was not one that is what you see on TV today. They wouldn't have jobs. And so we weren't exposed to such at all. I mean, if it wasn't on the news, you might not have seen it. And then when you did see it, it's kind of not the way that it really went down. So I enjoyed reading about Dr. Jasmine George Williams' journey of her discovery of her father being a Black Panther and being exposed to how he functioned in the world, and her mother's way of being an advocate for Black and brown people, and then her journey as an educator in higher ed. And so she created this book to assist us and to assist us individually and assist us to lead our students. And I think it's a phenomenal book. It's a workbook, so it makes you do some self-reflection. And I just thought it was so it prepared me for the Behind the Whistle. And then watching the movie just had me have a different view of things. So that is one I really would suggest that you get on your bookshelf ASAP. Because, again, and the whole conference is about getting ready for the return, and the return will be different with your student-athlete. And honestly, I don't have a thought one way or the other about the vaccines, but I did talk about it in my class at Hampton University in society, sports and society, and we were, why does our community not embrace vaccines? And it's because historically there's a trust factor. You ever heard of the Tuskegee experiment? And if that story has come down through your family, that becomes a, again, that's what social work is in sports is key. If people are not familiar with that, that's what they heard while they've been at home this time and why they're not going to do it, and what they heard about certain things, that would explain what their distrust is. And so you got to be really aware of that. And in their mind, my body belongs to me, but then in athletic world, it's like, no, your body belongs to me because I'm providing education in exchange for your performance, and they're going to be different. It's going to be different. You got to sit with this and prepare yourself first and how you're going to lead folks in this whole thing. So this book will probably really help you with that. I mean, for real, because it gives you examples. And being an advocate does not necessarily mean that you walk in the streets with a sign in your hand. Different types of ways. And I like to say educate to influence. So what I just said will probably explain to people why you need to show a trust factor, why this is okay. And I understand what you heard from your family, but we're your family too, and we're not going to, you know, do anything to hurt you. So you got to come at it from the perspective of the person that you're trying to persuade. So to get the book, go to bit.ly/drgsbooks. Again, bit.ly/drgsbooks. It's Dr. G's book. And I'm, again, you will not be disappointed. And I really would love to you to tell me, you know, inbox me, that you got the book and what you got out of it. Because I'm telling you, it's a great resource, and it's somebody who's a member of the garden. So we need to support her. And I know you keep hearing me say this. We're in production of the second magazine, but we really, really are. The goal is to have it on Amazon by August 1. That's the goal. All right, that's the goal. And so if the goal is met, that means the pre-sales were in, all right? So if you want to get the second issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports, you need to go to payhip.com/seasonempowerment to get the sale, the pre-sale, for $10. Other than that, it'll go back to $15.99 on Amazon. August the 1st. And if you like the first issue, please do me a favor and go to Amazon and write a review. I love the stars, but it doesn't help me. I need to have some words to say what you got out of the first magazine. And then lastly, it was something that was said that was quite interesting at the Behind the Whistle, the Schema Better Days. And it was talking about, again, you know, supporting our student athletes. And then we had some individuals who institution felt like they assisted the student with protests, which they necessarily did not, but it did help them find voice. And so it was being said, you know, be prepared for such. So, again, you got to do some self-reflection before you just jump right back onto campus. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to lead them? You know, are you silent? Are you just tell them? What I usually would tell students was read the bylaw. Go find the bylaw. Don't ask me. Go find the bylaw. Well, right now, even though the bylaw has been updated to reflect all that's going on, so I don't even know what my line of conversation would be. But what I will say, because a presenter said something that was a little bit really kind of on the radical side, but hey, you know, he's speaking his truth. He said, be prepared to lose your job. Now, I'm not a proponent of that, but what I will say, if you have freedom is having choices and having additional mode of income is one of those choices. And so that being said, having additional income that's passive is even more better. And so we do have someone inside the garden who can educate you on the financial investor game. Now, I know that you know, tired of people seeing the thing about bitcoins, and I got to the point where, somebody wants to be my friend, and going like, okay, remember the garden, I'm cool with that. But if I don't know you, then I realize I clicked the button, I said, oh, shoot, that's one of them Bitcoin people. And I'm going like, not interested, before she can even get to it. And why is that? I just went ahead and unfriended her. But this is somebody who is a friend within the garden, all right? And I trust her because I've watched her. She's very conservative. And she's, let's just be honest, she's an OG. So she's not one of those young folks trying to get rich fast. And it has helped her, and so she wants to help others. And she's an athletic administrator herself. And so this is why I had this on the platform. If you're interested in having an additional mode of income stream, all right, this caller, just text her rather. Text her at 980-298-2231. 980-298-2231 or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. That's stepping and the number two win.com. And just say you're ready to learn about the investor game. Again, you will feel a sense of relief. And, again, I've been enjoying Clubhouse, and I just listen to – and last night I was on the Clubhouse conversation about the Simone and Naomi. And so it was interesting because people were talking about the support systems that the two young ladies should have. And so – I did not say it there because there was a lot of people on the stage, but I will say it here. Surviving the Lights of Professional Athletes Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith is a resource that will be really important to have in this day and time, because our student athletes can go get dollars, but they don't necessarily know what's going to happen and how to mess themselves up. I do know that the state of Georgia says if you get money based on your status here as an athlete, they can get 75% of that. So they need a lawyer, you know, and then you need to know about your taxes. You know, you need to know all about that. And so my person is going to be Tawana Smith. Yeah. So, and I'm pretty sure she's going to probably do some updates to it based on the circumstances. But the baseline of what somebody should have on their team, and it's not necessarily your relative. So Surviving the Lights Professional Athletes Playbook to Ruin the Curse is on Amazon in three different formats. It is audio, paper, and e-book. So I would really suggest that you grab that. And I hope that you find that Chatner Garden has several resources for you to grow in the athletic administrative realm. And today's guest should continue that, because this is someone I met at the conference, and I don't remember the conference name, but it is these are researchers in sports management and the sociology of it. And when I met her, I made sure I never forgot her, because I was like, I know no one doing this, not a single soul. So I'm excited about bringing Dr. Jessica Murphy, visiting assistant professor for Texas A&M. Her research concentration is on sports and climate. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Murphy.
Hi, Monique.
Hi. I know you heard your tears. I heard you giggling.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, were you a former athlete?
I played academy soccer through the end of high school. My senior season home opener, I tore my ACL, and that kind of ended some athletic aspirations of mine. But, yeah, I've been a sports person my whole life.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to jump right into it, because I got several questions to come in. But let's go with your career journey from college to current status.
Sure. I will start kind of at the beginning. Yeah, so when I suffered, I mean, I had so many sports injuries, and I'm sure plenty of your listeners have as well. And this is not a unique story, but I just kind of tried to find my way back into sports even when I wasn't competing anymore. I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill as an environmental science major with goals of being a veterinarian. As my career, specifically marine mammals. You know, I wanted to work at SeaWorld. I wanted to be on the Discovery Channel. And, you know, I had a lot of family members who worked in animal and agricultural sciences. So that's just kind of where my passions were at the time. But the end of my first year at UNC, I kind of fell out of love with that career path. It became a lot to bear on a daily basis, just emotionally, and perhaps now looking back on it, it did more damage to my mental health than I knew at the time. So then I decided to switch majors to something that I knew would make me happy or would fulfill me day in and day out, and that was sports. So I switched my major as an undergrad to sport administration, and completed my degree while working in the athletic department at UNC. And then I stayed for an additional year after graduation working in event management in the athletic program. And I really did a lot while I was there just because I knew how important those experiences would be in the long run. While working there, I was applying to graduate programs, and I ended up going to the University of Alabama, where I also had a graduate assistantship in athletic event management. That was an incredible experience. I was there for 2 years and then started my PhD in sport administration at the University of Louisville. And then I took a full-time teaching position within our program in my third year, completed that, graduated, defended my dissertation, and moved to College Station, where I am now as a visiting assistant professor in sport management.
Wow. So we're going to dig deep into your research and your area of concentration after we take this really short commercial break.
Hey, it's Dr. Jasmine George Williams, also known as Dr. G. I'm so excited to share the release of my book, Love is at the Root of Resistance, Strategies of Activism, Advocacy, and Liberation, available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle format. To learn more about my research and activism, please visit www.drjasmine.com. That's www.drjasmine. Thank you for your support. All power to the people.
This is Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, founder of So You Want a Career in Athletics. Do you know a young girl who needs help navigating her career? She may be the perfect candidate for So You Want a Career in Athletics. So You Want a Career in Athletics is designed to equip the next generation of women leaders with the tools they need to succeed. So You Want a Career in Athletics is accepting applications for our two virtual summer academies for girls, June 17th through June 20th, and young professional women, July 8th through July 11th. Discover your unique leadership profile. Develop relationships with industry experts. Determine strategies to help you thrive in your sports career. For more information, visit www.syw.acia.com. Again, that's www.syw.acia.com.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chattanooga Garden, where Snuffers blooms in athletics and sports. Okay, so you didn't really tell me how did you pick climate in sport. How did that come about?
Sure. Yeah, so I guess this kind of all goes back to my longtime sort of childhood passion, back to that young student who was an environmental science major. I have always just been the nature kid. I spent so much time outdoors, was really fortunate to grow up in a family that was able to afford me the opportunities to take advantage of the natural environment. We spent a lot of time doing activities and trips and just having experiences where I could learn to appreciate the state of the natural environment. So it's always been something that I have really been passionate about. And I think as I've moved through experiences in a career in sports, I have always been trying to return back to my initial underlying passion of protecting and conserving the natural environment and whatever that might look like. And so in completing a PhD, I really was able to bring those two parts of my identity back together. The part of me that loves the planet and all of its amazing features and creatures, and then the part of me that loves sport and the innate nature that it's able to bring people together and have such an amazing platform. And so by bringing the two together and really focusing on the most pressing issue of our lifetimes, which is climate change, I have found that I've been able to really make like a real impact in that area.
That is so deep. So I got a couple questions.
Okay.
Dr. Makaya Troy, AD at Creekside in Georgia.
Oh, my dad used to teach there.
Yes, and Dr. Troy is a three-time AD of the year. So she says, what impact do you see climate change having on certain sports seasons and when they're played, and do you foresee any changes in the future?
Oh, that's such an excellent question. In fact, kind of the trajectory of my work now is an assessment of what scheduling looks like, because we as sports people are really used to either playing or watching sports when they're supposed to happen, right? Mm-hmm. We're all kind of out of whack because the Olympics were supposed to be last year, or the FIFA World Cup is now taking – the Men's World Cup, I mean, is happening in the winter next year when that's supposed to be in the summer, and we kind of look forward to college football in the fall. But if college football is in the spring, that would kind of mess everything up culturally and the way our expectations are oriented. But the fact is the changes in climate are dictating the way we can play sports. For example, more and more Major League Baseball stadiums, and this was the subject matter of my dissertation, they're being built with roofs on top. There are almost 10, getting close to 10, and I actually kind of foresee in the future we'll reach maybe the halfway point of all teams competing in enclosed stadiums, which to me, growing up in Georgia is just kind of weird. You know, you go to a baseball game expecting to eat your peanuts, throw the shells on the ground, watch the fireworks, see the home runs kind of go as far as the eye can see, the sun sets, just all of these things that make the sport what it is. It's just kind of not the same when there's a roof on top. But enclosing the stadium means you can continue to play the sport. Mm. What we're seeing now are also effects happening at the amateur and youth and community level. More and more injuries due to extreme weather, lightning strikes. I mean, children are getting struck by lightning at soccer practice, and it is terrifying. Out on the golf course, all of these things are amplifying, and they're gaining in magnitude, and it's adjusting entire season. I have a manuscript in the Journal of Legal Aspects of Sport with my colleague, Anita Mormon, and we assess college football game contracts and the prevalence of college football game cancellations due to hurricanes. And because these are happening so frequently and are costing so much money, you know, all of the money that goes into producing and performing a college football game, it's putting the entire season in jeopardy, where there are talks to move the start of college football season to avoid hurricanes. And if that's not a slap in the face on how, you know, important this is in the sport landscape, I'm not sure how to make it any more clear, but it's really scary because we love our sports more than many other things.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when I was social commissioner for the CIAA and I was over the spring sports championship, my boss would say, well, look at the almanac and find out if it's supposed to rain. And I looked at him like he was crazy, like, huh? I mean, now you just can look on your app, but back then we didn't have that. Like, he thinks I'm God, I'm supposed to know? You know what I'm saying? And so to hear that those kind of things are being looked at is just so interesting to me. It just really is.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got two more questions.
Okay.
And one of them is your mentee, Shemaine Martelli. Did I say that right?
Shemaine Maricela?
Oh, okay. Yes, her. Yes.
Okay.
She's inside sales associate for the Houston. I got Houston of Louisville. That doesn't sound right. But
Houston Rockets. But I taught her at Louisville, so that sounds
okay.
Right.
That's what it was. I'm like, that doesn't sound like it. How is it gonna be Houston and Louisville? And so
yeah.
That's my chicken scratch. So she says you were her mentor, and she can't thank you enough. She wants to know the top three things you would have told yourself as a little girl if you could go back.
Wow. That's a big question. Top three things I would have, or maybe I would, tell a younger version of me. I think the first one would be to be brave. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a double-edged sword because a lot of the times other people tell you to be brave or to have courage or to stand up for yourself. But, you know, as a young girl, especially girls of color, it's kind of an affirmation to be able to say that to yourself. And I wish I had done that more, even though I did hear that a lot from people like my dad and my coaches, my teachers. To be brave, and I guess the other edge of that sword is it's kind of a shame that we have to say that we live in a world that requires braveness or courage. That's got two sides to it. Be brave, try something new all the time, always. And it doesn't have to be a risky, you know, try a new food, make a new friend, or sit at a different lunch table. Just switch things up and get a little bit uncomfortable. And then the third one is it's okay to make mistakes. and I know this is true of myself, this is true of a lot of the students who I've taught, and people I've worked with, we set, and, you know, people in sports, because that competitive nature, we set these ridiculous expectations for ourselves, and it's really hard to live up to those all the time. So get a little bit messy and make a few mistakes and really learn from those rather than aiming for perfect or flawless every single time. So I think those would be the three, and those three things are what will keep life fun and entertaining and exciting and a little bit dirty. So yeah, those would be the three things.
Wow. Well, here is one that I think is going to be really helpful long term. Chuck Provincio, University of Mexico. He says, we've been spending a lot of time discussing the climate and sustainability initiatives that large organizations and events implement. But what kind of things can smaller organizations focus on to develop good habits and participation like youth sport and their operations, such as gym and community centers?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think because climate change gets wrapped up in these heated political debates, but it's science. It's not politics. It's not religion. It's not toying with anyone's emotions. But because it gets put on this really high, complicated, vague platform, that makes it scary or unapproachable, when really there are things that can be done on a day-to-day basis. Now, the important thing that I always like to distinguish is that it's not on myself, Monique, it's not on you, Chuck, it's not on you. We have to operate in the society that we currently live in and that exists for us, right? I got to drive my car to go get gas and then to get groceries and to take myself to school. That's the society that we live in and that we operate in. But there are little things that I can do to reduce my impact and help and protect other people. Even though there are those large corporations that could do a whole lot more. So at the individual or small or youth or community level, some of those really easy actionable things are tied very closely to safety. So when we're talking about kids in sport, we can't help but talk about the parents and parents' involvement. And the ways parents can make youth sport a lot more sustainable is by promoting carpooling or kind of spreading the wealth for snacks or concessions, pitching in to monitor the weather collectively, making sure children have a reliable and safe way to continue to play sports. At sort of the community group level, and I think immediately, at least in North America, of Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs, even adult recreation sport leagues, tapping into the existing systems in a given city, whether that's public transit or food banks or humane societies, ways in which different community partners can get together for a common mission can help save resources while generating revenue. I would say the most pressing concern for these groups would be their inability to recover if and when a catastrophe were to happen, you know, tornado hits or crazy flooding, which we have seen lately, wildfires. These are not the organizations that can just kind of bounce back unscathed. So working together as a community to ensure protection for when kind of these inevitable horrendous events take place just continues to build that that resistance and resilience.
So how many people like you studying what you are? Because you're the only person I've ever heard doing this.
Well, it definitely a growing field. So I am a member of the sport ecology group that's about 24 strong plus an entire slew of graduate students globally, which is really cool because, you know, you get to collaborate and work with people kind of all over. Outside of our group, there are other organizations doing this work as well. So I would, you know, am flattered, but there are so many other people that are doing a lot of this heavy lifting, whether that's the Sport Positive Summit, the Green Sports Alliance. It's even taking place, you know, European organizations like Protect Our Winters in Europe, all the way through to the United Nations. There are just pockets of people, whether they're in academia or in practice or in consulting, that have realized we have one planet to live on, you know, all of us. There might be a billionaire that can shoot off to space, but the rest of us are kind of stuck here. And so we have to protect it because where else are we going to go? And we all love sports so much, and it has this amazing voice to do a lot of positive good, and we're really seeing that happen everywhere. However, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the places that are most impacted by climate change are the countries in the regions that are predominantly minority ethnic groups, that are low socioeconomic status, that don't have the resources and the wealth that places like the United Kingdom, the United States, Australia have. So I would really like to see some of these same efforts happen with as much gusto as they're happening here in other places around the world as well, because it's just as important.
Wow. I'm reading the fictional book by John Grisham called Sully, and the young man, this main character, is it's not Nigeria, but it's an African country. And I don't know if you ever read John Grisham, but he makes you feel like you were there. Remember, he wrote The Chamber, and I felt like I was, you know, in jail, about to go, you know, I mean, you used to feel it. And so they are ostracized from their country, Sudan. That's where they're from. They're from Sudan.
Okay.
And you can feel them traveling as refugees, trying to find a camp and find water. But this young man, And then you hear about how he played basketball, how he began, because he was tall. But then he is on like a grassroots team, and they bring him to the United States. And when he's in the United States, that's where his family home is attacked. And so, and you just talk about climate. And I mean, again, you have the wars, but the part of how they're able to survive, you know, and knowing the seasons. And the point I'm trying to get to is that what you just said, you know how to plan based on the season. But then when the season doesn't look like the season you're used to, like you can have a warm winter and, you know, it's like your whole world is turned upside down, basically. I mean,
absolutely.
You enjoy the warm weather, but there's some things, the reason why that happens, so you can be
right.
Into the summer, you know?
And it's crazy that all of these things kind of go hand in hand. So over the last year, there's been so much talk and focus on social justice, but you can't have social justice in the absence of environmental justice. It's just not possible, because there will still be societal inequities so long as there are environmental inequities. So you mentioned war, and oftentimes war boils down to very simple discrepancies between people. access to water, clean drinking water, access to food to eat, and both of those things contribute to, you know, mortality rates, childbirth issues, reasons that people have to get angsty and pick fights with one another, whether there are differences on ideological levels because two groups are disagreeing over food, medicine, health, all of these things, that we can draw direct lines back to this change in climate, the disruption of the seasons. It's all so interconnected, and it just, we can't fix a fractured society with fractured efforts. It has to be really holistic and intentional. And the way, at least for me, into starting to fix those things would be through sport, something that we can all care about, even if we disagree politically, if we disagree religiously. You know, if I have the same logo and mascot on my T-shirt as you do, then there's something that brings us together.
I mean, it's been hard for me to read, but like you said, you know, they were looking for water and the water was dirty. Now, you got a young man, and the subject line, the young man is playing at North Carolina Central University. And so, it's interesting because the whole team was affected by this young man's family in Sudan. You see what I'm saying? It's like you really can't do the privilege thing. Okay, that's his family. No, this is a teammate member. No, his response to things has something to do with how you respond to things. And has a lot to do with how you function, because in your back of your mind, you're like, I really don't have a problem. And so, it's just, again, it's interesting because it's a work of fiction. But I do want to give a shout-out. Can you name the convention that we first met at? Please, correctly, since I can't remember.
We met at the North American Society for the Sociology of Sport, NAS, in Virginia Beach.
Yes, yes. And you came up to me, he says, I'm a member of the Garden. I said, really?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, yes, that's the beauty of the Garden. I mean, I love it, just love it. And I just really loved our conversation. I just hope that it has sparked some people to maybe share with their student athletes and folks about sports and ecology and sports and climate and that kind of thing. And I just hope we planted some seeds today. And thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me, Monique.
And thank you to our engineer, Jama Harrison, of Refined Solutions. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for show updates and podcast follow-up, join us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.